experience the charm and mystery of the Deep South through ghost stories by attending the highly respected Roswell Ghost Tour. Your experienced guide will lead you on this two-hour outdoor walking tour through the historic district of Roswell. One of the highlights of the tour is a visit to Founders Cemetery, the burial site of Roswell King, where bodies are buried beneath modern streets and houses. Grand Greek Revival mansions and humble millworkers' apartments are some of the haunted sites you'll see on this mile of easy walking. Check RoswellGhostTour.com for the current schedule. Tours run most Friday and Saturday nights year-round, and private tours may be arranged. Reservations are required. Call 770-649-9922. That's 770-649-9922 for more information. Happy haunting from Roswell Ghost Tours.
What are we made of? Why do I get sick? How can I live a more balanced and whole life? These are just a few of the questions explored each week by naturopath, medical intuitive, and clairvoyant, Dr. Rita Louise on Just Energy Radio. Explore your possibilities every Friday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Join us at JustEnergyRadio.com.
Disco!
Shadow government. Strange rituals. New world
shadow
order.
Government. Strange
buried
rituals.
Treasure. New planetary mind control.
Out there.
Out there. It's a strange world.
Visit outthereradio.net for more information.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
And we're back. I hope you guys enjoyed our little excerpts from the Haunted America Conference last weekend. I had a good time doing them. Thanks to Laura Moon and Troy Taylor for being nice enough to sit and talk with me during that time. Yes, that's it. This is Ghostly Talk. I am Scott L.
I'm Amber.
God, you got to get quicker than that, Amber.
Sorry.
Amber's watching the chat room for us tonight. If you have any questions, feel free to ask Amber and she'll send it a rock over to my side of the table and let me know what's going on. In the meantime, though, Derek White Sky Cloud is a psychic medium that makes himself available to the spirit world to receive messages from those who have passed over to the other side. With the assistance of his spirit guide, White Bear, he uses his gift to prove to all that life does exist after death. With that, I'd like to also mention Derek's website, which is www.whiteskycloud.com. Derek's been here a few times, actually, with our Prophecy Night shows we do with Homie, like I mentioned before. On that, though, I'd like to welcome Derek to the show again. How you doing tonight, Derek?
Pretty good. How's yourselves?
Really, really good. Kind of tired. We've been on the road a lot here lately, but we're here doing the show. One thing I do want to...
Like me.
What's that?
That sounds like me.
One thing I wanted to ask you, though, obviously, you mentioned White Bear.
Yeah.
And this is your spirit guide. If we got a few minutes, and if you don't mind, I'd like to discuss this a little bit because, you know, we're told that we all have spirit guides, beings or, I mean, I've heard they can be animals, they can be other people, they can be, you know, either one that guide you through. And yours, obviously, is White Bear, correct?
Yes.
And, how do you even ask this question? Amber, you got anything to ask about this?
The words are, how do you know it's him? Or how do you know it's a... Well, basically, I've had this man come and see me when I was 8 years old.
White Bear, is this a man or is this an actual animal? Because, I mean, like I said, I've heard of them being animals, too, but is this a person?
It's a person. He actually was... He lived through history. He came to see me when I was 8 years old, and he chose to work with me. He told me that I was one of his elders when he lived on this earth.
Okay, and then you were 8 years old then, and obviously he's been there ever since then, and he is a true spirit guide to you. This is the person that more or less talks through you, correct?
Yes, but I also get people that are crossed over talk through me as well. He is one of my tests. He was actually teaching me how to do it.
Okay.
And he would, if I need assistance, he would come through and give me assistance, and then I've also got relatives that are crossed over that also help me, and now on it from the other side. So it's the way he came across me or into my path was as I got older. He told me to go to this place, particular place, I was curious what he looked like. I had no idea what he looked like, and this was like about maybe 15 or so years ago. And he told me to go to, you know, like my wife and I are talking about going to the flea market, and he says, well, you go there, you'll find me. And I couldn't figure out what he was talking about when he said, you'll find me. And he says, I'll be there, you'll find me. You'll find a picture of me there. So my wife and I were at the flea market, and we walked around, and I was looking and looking and looking, couldn't find anything.
Mm-hmm.
And until I came to this table where this lady, or actually this guy, was selling trading cards. And there was a trading card hanging on the wall, and I looked up, and I went, oh, no. And all I got was, I started getting chills, and I thought to myself, is this you? And he goes, that's me.
Oh.
And so it was actually great Native American Chiefs trading cards, and he was on the wall, the only one on the wall.
Okay.
I started doing some research on him and history about his life and how he walked this earth. But he said to me not to believe everything that's written because it was not all true. So it was actually his untimely death. So I listened to him. He told me exactly how he died. And but he has forgiven the people that took his life. His work in this world now is to help to bring spiritual enlightenment with everyone and to teach forgiveness.
That's interesting. One thing in regards to that, to bring spiritual enlightenment, and I'm sure, you know, in the conversations you have with White Bear, does he think there's any progress being made with that? I'm just wondering if he's given you any insight into that. Because, I mean, I think personally, yeah, there is a lot. It's increasing now, but I'm wondering from someone on the other side like that what they would have to say.
Well, I've met a lot of people that in my field, like basically I'm what you call a half-breed. We call ourselves Métis.
Mm-hmm.
And I, my ancestors, or my grandmother, was Ojibwe, and she was adopted on Bear River Reserve up in Nova Scotia.
Okay.
And my grandfather, on my mom's side, his name is Robert Henry Rolfe, who we are the relative of Pocahontas in true reality.
Really?
From my grand's documents. So those two parts of history, and I also right now myself, I was actually one of the kids that actually went to residential school, but not a regular, like not a full-time residential school, because they never knew I was Aboriginal until I found the documents, and when they found that out, then they moved me to that particular location,
mm-hmm.
which means, I mean, when I was at the regular school, I never got any friends. I never had any friends, but when I got to this residential school, I had more friends than mm-hmm. I ever thought of having my entire life, because they all understood me.
Yeah.
It's just the way things are. That's how your life is planned.
Mm-hmm.
They work with their... Yeah.
Well, yeah, and that's what I was trying to find out, though, is like you said, that White Bear, his job is to bring spiritual enlightenment to people, correct?
Yeah, and he actually, his teachings are good. It's not always, like some people believe, well, if it's teachings, is it always just Native American teachings?
Okay.
No, it's basically common sense.
Okay.
It's just plain common sense. No matter how our life is supposed to be spent, we are to live it. And, for example, like yourself, you chose to work in the paranormal field and to do radio
mm-hmm.
and to share the information and trying to basically research the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And this is exactly what he teaches us, is to research what we feel is true to our heart and mm-hmm. what feels right for us.
Oh, okay. No, I see what you're saying, then. Yeah, and I think, you know, that's... what people, I'm just like trying to find out more or less, you know, I think in this time, like this day and age right now, there is a lot more enlightenment with people. I think as far as spirituality is concerned, I think people are starting to reach further, I think, more now, because there's a lot of, I think with a lot of the social issues that are going on, here in America at least, and I know there's stuff going on in Canada too, people want answers more than just like, okay, you know, how much am I going to get paid for this job I do or whatever it might be. People want to know more things. They're looking for more answers. That's why I think personally there is a lot more people who are being spiritually enlightened now, because they're looking for these answers. What do you think about that, Derek?
Well, a lot of people, for example, they'll say, some people out there, I've been on, for example, I went into the Pal Talk radio show, Pal Talk room,
uh-huh.
and I went into some of these locations, and some of these people who do readings on there, they'll say, well, I don't believe in charging people for readings, that's not right. You know, God would never give you that gift if you're charging. And I thought, you know, that's another human being's belief system. To me, also, when I was learning my understanding of teachings from my elders, they always taught me this, that money is a form of trade. It's like, you know, if money comes from the earth, it's part of the trees. So if we're here for a reason to do something in trade, someone's offering you something or asked to do something, in return they give you something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no matter what it, you don't look at money as being a negative. It's almost like, did God say we can't have money? No, he didn't say we can't have money. We just earn it that way. That's how it works.
Yeah.
So if he didn't have the word cash or money on hand, they'll give you chickens and horses and pigs.
It's a barter. Yeah, then you're just bartering more or less, which is...
off with a whole flock of chickens in your house.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's interesting.
Pigs in your field. You know, you just have to... you know, that's basically, you look at it as being in the form of trade, that's all.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because yesterday when we were at the Michigan Paranormal Expo here yesterday, it's obviously really nice to have a conference again here in Michigan, and we were there yesterday, and I had the honor of being on the panel for a panel discussion they had. And the starting topic was Frank's Box. I don't know if you've heard about the whole Frank's Box thing, Derek. But it kind of led to one of the questions that popped out. One of the audience, people in the audience asked the question was, you know, there's people out there that are charging other people to use a Frank's Box as part of, you know, their paranormal investigation. People are using the Frank's Box and the people are charging hourly rates for these things and stuff like that now. And we were asked...
Well, I charge an hourly rate as a medium, so mm-hmm. There is no difference. The only thing is that I had Chris on my show. Like, I also have a radio show.
Yeah.
Between Two Worlds. I had Chris on my show, and I tested that box, and I wanted to make contact with my mother and my father, and my mom's voice and my dad's voice came through.
Oh, did it?
Not because I wanted to. It just happened, and I was like, oh, my God. Because I knew my mom's voice. I knew the responses of her, of things that she had done in her life. I knew what my father had done in his life. And those things came through by their voices. Not, I never encouraged them saying, prove to me this is who you are.
Yeah.
I just said, I want to talk to my mom and dad. Mom, are you there? And I heard my mom's voice. And then there was actually a friend of mine who he wanted to come on and make contact with his father. And his father was trying to come on. All of a sudden, there was two people in the spirit box. They were arguing. A male and a female were arguing each other, and Chris is going, oh, my God, I can't believe it. There are two people there actually arguing right now. They're arguing. And I go, what are they arguing about? He says, one's trying to stay on, not wanting to leave,
uh-huh.
And she won't let him on. This is your mom. Well, I knew then what this is meaning, and all of a sudden I heard my father's voice yelling in the background, your mother's trying to stop traffic again. I knew it was my mom, because my dad used to always say to me, When mom was living, when they were younger, they used to go out and have fun and drink and stuff, and mom used to get little tipsy to the point where she'd go in the middle of the street and try and stop traffic.
Oh, really?
My father would have to hide her behind the bush so the cops wouldn't find her. I knew it was my mom and dad.
And this stuff
no
came...
No way.
This stuff...
Never experienced anything like that, with actually two spirits in the box arguing, trying to come through each with each other, trying to make contact. My mother refused to leave. My mother did not want to stop talking to me.
And
that's how it worked.
And these voices came through clearly, as you could hear. I mean, you could hear them clearly.
I got the recording. I got the archive.
Well, the thing is, you know, and that's what, I mean, that's kind of not what I was aiming at with this, but it begs to be said, because we were asked about the Frank's Box, like what we think about it, and I'm like, well, Amber and I here, we've had several occasions in the last year and a half where we've been able to watch the thing work.
At Mansfield.
And
Rosemary
was
successful with it.
Yeah.
She had it in her presentation.
Yeah, she had some interesting stuff happen. I personally have not witnessed anything myself on the spot. I've heard stuff. People have recorded and played back and stuff like that. That's why I keep saying, I want to see more research put into this thing. Some people just want to write it off completely. Like, no, this is garbage.
The box itself was designed by Thomas Edison. And even Thomas's voice is coming through. He was the original builder.
Mm-hmm. Well,
we got some good friends that were actually tested themselves. Dr. Jimmy from APSR Radio, he was also testing Chris Moon's work. They were doing a thing up in Savannah, Georgia. I'm not sure if you guys were there on that one.
No, we weren't.
That was last year, I believe. So, I mean, I witnessed a lot of this myself. Mm-hmm. My arms and my back of my hair, his back of my neck was just crawling when they were talking on the out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I knew it was them. That's why I'm trying to get Chris up in this location to test it on here in Canada, because I've told a lot of people about this particular box. Anything that is electronic, you guys know this yourself. Anything with electronics, even including white noise, the box itself really is a white noise box.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just what the man was trying to do. He was trying to make it where it's like a telephone to the dead, where he was trying to make it as precise as possible. The person's voice can come through. The only thing is that I learned from spirit. They told me they have to raise their energy to a higher vibration to go through the electronics, because it's energy, and they'll try to use electricity, whether lights, radio, television, EMF, everything that's all involved. They'll try everything and anything to come through.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't get through, they'll throw nuts and bolts at you in the room, which has happened. I'm sure you guys got pinged a few times yourselves.
That's
exactly what they do. They try to let you know they're there.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that was brought up yesterday in regards to this panel discussion we had about Frank's Box, and somebody said, you know, the question came up like, you know, how can we get, you know, the question was phrased kind of like, and what I got out of it myself was, you know, how can we, you know, we need to figure a way out, you know, how, you know, psychics work, right? How they are able to, you know, work with psychically and learn things and hear things like you do, Derek, for example. We need to develop a machine that can do the same thing. And I know I responded with, well, okay, that's, I think, the glue of it right there. If we could figure out what happens in the human brain and synthesize it electronically with some type of machine, that may be the key to it. But it's finding out that relation between humankind and machine, which is the key to it. And obviously, we haven't figured that out just yet. So
one thing I noticed, that if you use a low-grade digital recorder, you'll get more sound from spirits than you do at a high-grade.
Why?
If you spend $200 or $300 on a digital recorder, you're not going to get as much sound because it's so precise.
It's clean.
What that high-grade, high-performance digital recorder does is basically eliminate the white noise. But if you use a low-grade, which you pay, you know, between $75 and $80 or $100 for a digital recorder, you're going to get a lot more sound and more voices from spirit, because there's nothing being taken out, nothing being wiped away.
Mm-hmm. And
technology is trying to do is wipe out the white noise.
Mm-hmm.
You need the white noise to attract the attention for the spirits that come to you. You know that.
Yeah, we've been working with white noise and stuff like that for years, and I do agree with you. I know Amber and I both have, we both had the Olympus BN480 PC, and that's at the time when it came out, it was a top of the line, you know, 8 hours of recording space, and the sound quality was pretty good, but it was still kind of crunchy, right? And it still is kind of noisy in the background, and I know you've recorded a bunch of stuff on yours, I've heard some of mine.
You know what, though, in the past, when I first started doing ghost hunting, when we were using analog recorders,
mm-hmm.
we did get a lot more results with an analog recorder than the digital ones out right now.
You mean it's a tape recorder?
Yeah,
it's a tape recorder. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people
say... I mean, your common tape recorder, I mean, I'll give you an example. I mean, I do a lot of readings for my clients. I also tape them for my clients. I don't use a digital recorder. I use a just common audio tape. And I was actually reading a young man and telling him that his son had crossed over and to make contact with his son. I told him, I said, listen carefully to the tape. I said, your son's voice will come through.
Uh-huh.
Now, he took it home, and he listened to the tape, and he heard his son's voice come through, and he says, Daddy, I love you.
Ooh. And that was on an analog recorder.
Analog recorder. He said, Daddy, I love you. And the father, this young man was 22 years old. He was a skeptic, like all can be. He says, I don't know, but I'll listen. And when he listened to it, he came back and told me, he says, I will never doubt you, and I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it's basically how they make tapes. I've got photographs that will blow you guys away right now that you've never ever seen before. I've got a young lady who actually her father passed away, and she was always trying to make contact with her dad.
Mm-hmm.
She sent me a photograph of her father's head in the TV set while watching television, and he's already passed away.
Oh my goodness, Derek, we do have a question from the chat. We only got like seconds before we have to go to break, but we have a question from the chat room.
Yeah,
what is that, Amber?
Terry from Virginia Paranormal has a question about when they get EVPs. There's always a certain strangeness to the voice, and she was just curious if you have an opinion on that. Why it's kind of weird and not just a regular voice like ours.
What strangeness though? I mean,
well, you look. You know, sometimes people have to, the energy of that particular entity,
yeah.
I call them entities because they're trying to bring themselves back through this world.
Mm-hmm.
They try to make a message, whether it's a negative entity or whether it's a good one. Because, I mean, you can call one entity as being a negative poltergeist version of it, whether how strong they are, the ones that are pushy, with their energy pushing you away. Or there's ones that say, welcome, we want to talk to you, I can hardly wait. And most of them are actually children. But when you do talk to someone that is using their energy, trying to come through to you, I mean, what I've always understood, because what I do is I combine my mediumship skills with EVPs and see if this is exactly what I expect to hear, because at times, some of us have the skills of hearing them with our own voice, and then trying to match them up with an EVP that has a very similar sound.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing I always highly recommend to tell people. If you're able to have someone who's actually can use their own audio sense and hearing voices just as much, that doesn't mean you're being schizophrenic. I mean, really, being a professional, you can hear the voice of a spirit and then try to match that with someone who's on EVP, and if it's that close, you say, yeah, that's that close. I guarantee you've got something there. Now, yes, you've got skeptics out there who always to this day, they're going to say, nah, 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 you don't want to talk about it, you're crazy, it's really what you want, it's what you want.
Yeah.
You know what? As often as we can try and try to tell someone who are in the skeptic society, they're not going to even tell you, they're not going to even admit whatsoever. I've got so many people come to see me for readings that are, they always say, well, you know, just to let you know, I'm skeptic. Oh, great. That's healthy. I want you to be skeptic.
Mm-hmm.
But when I sit down and talk to you and give you that reading, you're going to walk out of the door differently. You're going to you're going to start noticing why you believe in it. And I don't say anything after that. I don't even ask them questions. I tell them what I'm seeing. Because if you ask your feeding, you don't need to feed. You just tell them what you have to see. And
mm-hmm.
you let them know how what it's all about. And the thing is that with an EVP, trying to match it with sound, that is the best thing to have. If you can have someone on site who's actually a medium on site, get them on site with you. If you haven't got one, get one.
Excellent.
But make sure you check their qualifications first, because I have some people out there that try to say, I proclaim myself to be, and they weren't.
Oh.
And so I even test them myself.
Excellent. Why are we there?
You know, a medium will test on a medium because there's a certain challenge a medium can become.
Mm-hmm.
They only can go so far, and some mediums even go further. I'm a little bit further. I actually have I listen to spirits' voices.
Mm-hmm.
I hear them. I feel them. And at times, I've had spirits come in my body, and they'll take me over. And I become them. And I can tell exactly how this person's crossed over.
Excellent. Why don't we take a quick break here, Derek? Sorry about that. This is nothing really planned here. This first half an hour, I have to say, I didn't plan on talking about this, but I'm glad we did, Derek. I hope you were cool with that too.
The other part of it too, regarding you mentioned about the box, Frank's box. I believe that Chris has every right to charge a fee because let's put it this way: how is he going to make an income, or how is he going to earn his way to travel across the United States and across the world to share the information? Who's going to sponsor him to do this?
Well, let's talk a little bit more. Let's talk about that.
Tickets.
Okay.
Yes.
Let's talk about that after the break some more, if you don't mind. Let's go to break here for a quick second. Actually, coming up here is Paranormal News with Bonnie Vett, our new feature we have on here. Bonnie does a little podcast called Paranormal News, where she goes over the latest news stories in the paranormal, and we're happy to play it here on Ghostly Talk. Here it comes. We'll be right back after this.
Ghostly Talk!
Hi, this is Luke, and this is Tobin from Quest Research.
Hey, Tobin, what do you get when four guys with absolutely no video experience whatsoever decide to produce their own online paranormal TV show?
I don't know. What? Oh, wait. I do know. Ghost Diaries, right?
That's right.
You can check us out and get involved at www.questresearch.net. And good thing about being new is that we will only get better.
Welcome to Paranormal News on Ghostly Talk Radio. Paranormal News is produced by Genesis Creations Entertainment. I'm your host, Bonnie Vance. Our first story comes from IBNLive.com in India. He is the man Newsweek magazine declared as the next Spielberg. His name is synonymous with supernatural stories and twists in his endings. You may or may not like his movies, but there's no way you haven't heard the dialogue, "I see dead people." It's one of the most popular lines in movie history, and it's he who coined it. The guest on the show is the writer and director of The Sixth Sense and Signs, M. Night Shyamalan. Here is a clip.
Who are some of the filmmakers who influenced you greatly?
There's so many. Well, Spielberg, of course. He's like the guru. And then Hitchcock and Kubrick, Stanley Kubrick. His kind of minimalism is very beautiful. Kurosawa, Japanese filmmaker, wonderful filmmaker. Those four, as their style of the four of them was the ones that resonated the most. But there's been an amazing amount of filmmakers who have influenced all different types of thought process.
Hey, why do you think of Indian films not really crossed over? It's something we talk about extensively in India.
Well, I think because the movies that cross over tend to be a singular idea that's very universal. And Indian movies, the language of the Indian movies is incredibly universal. So, you know, in terms of the romance and the unrequited love and the heightened emotions that everyone's feeling. I'm in love with the boy, but the boy is from the rich family, and I'm just a servant girl. You know, all those wonderful things. Those are all universal, but they don't generally come in a package that I can tell you like this. I can just tell you in a line. Two people are trapped in the building's about to collapse, and they realize that they're the true loves for each other, but they only have 1 hour left to live. You know, some one thing that become, you know, so that the person in Germany goes, you know, there's this movie, it's about this.
Right.
And they say it really quick, you know, the onus is not on that idea here. It's more on the back and forth of the betrayals and the loves and that kind of thing, which are all wonderful tools. And if they just had that one idea, I think it could explode.
Do you cast Indian actors often? I know Sarita Chaudhary played a significant role in Lady in the Water. You don't cast too many Indian actors.
Yeah, I mean, I cast very organically, whatever happens. And, you know, since I'm in a lot of them, there's a real sense that you don't want it to be an agenda. You know, oh, we're making a movie about a normal neighborhood, but there's sort of a lot of Indians in this neighborhood, you know, unless that's the point of it. I remember when I was reading cards from the audience, and in Sixth Sense, you know, I'm in it, and then I had the Indian couple in the jewelry store, and the cards were like, "What's with all the Indian people? Why are there so many Indian people?" You know, and it's there's only three of us, but and I used I've used Indian actors here and there a bunch, and even, you know, wherever I can, in the happening, like there's an Indian anchor woman that's on the TV, and Babita, who is from Philadelphia. And so I slip them in anywhere I can.
Okay. The Happening is your first R-rated film.
I know.
They're saying it's your most violent film. Mm. If I remember correctly, The Sixth Sense had some very graphic imagery.
Yeah, The Sixth Sense got an R first. Mm. And then...
You cut it.
I didn't really cut it. It kind of happened naturally. They were on the fence about whether to make it R or not. And we just kept finishing the movie, and we showed it to them again, and then they decided to go PG-13. They were on the edge of which way to go. So I've been there a couple times, and The Village got an R for one scene, and then we changed a little bit of the sound effects, and it actually went back again. So I've been there a couple times, but it's a very visceral movie. When I think of the movies that are in my house, the posters in my house, I have Exorcist, Godfather, Jaws. Those are the three posters that are in one room. the, you know, Exorcist was very hard R.
Sure.
Godfather was R, and I believe Jaws, if it was rated today, would get an R. So my influences are that. So I said, well, let me make one of those, a movie that would go on that wall over there with that hard experience, you know? When we screened The Happening, you know, it's by far my scariest movie. Like, everyone's like this, watching it. They're all hiding. And then they're laughing and they're crying. You can hear everybody sniffling when the emotional scenes come. It's fun to have a movie where people scream and then cry.
The controversy continues to rage regarding the ghost hunters' investigation at the Moss Beach Distillery. Lloyd Auerbach, a respected parapsychologist, weighs in with his thoughts on this investigation and informs his readers that he was contacted by a person who said they represented the production company. He informed this person that there are special effects at the Moss Beach Distillery. These special effects are also mentioned in books and other resources. Yet there seems to be some bad feeling among the ghost hunters that they were not informed by the Moss Beach Distillery staff of the special effects. There are two articles posted on the Paranormal News feed page. The first is a blog posted by Lloyd Auerbach, and the second is from TV Squad, who rarely posts anything about the Ghost Hunters television show. Is this just publicity for the show, or do you think there was intentional deception on the part of the Moss Beach Distillery staff? For more information on these stories, please go to www.sdparanormal.com and the Paranormal News feed page. Don't forget, sign up for a free subscription to Paranormal News. Thanks for joining us today on Paranormal News. If you'd like to sponsor or advertise on Paranormal News, please send us an email at parxnews@aol.com. You can listen to Paranormal News on Ghostly Talk Radio at www.ghostlytalk.com. Please check out their other fine shows. Or you can join us at paranormalnews.mypodcast.com. Until next time, I'm your host, Bonnie Bent.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk with Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
Actually, it's Doug and Amber tonight.
Doug.
I just wanted to point... I'm sorry, did I say Doug?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Scott and Amber.
You just called yourself
I
Doug.
I just called myself Doug. That is just a testament to how I feel right now. I am shot, man. We're talking about the Derek White Sky Cloud. Before we went to break, we were talking about, we got on to Frank's box. I don't want to beat it to death here. But we kind of topped off, before the break, Derek, we were talking about, people charging to use Frank's box. You brought up some interesting points that, there maybe have to be some compensation involved with this if you want to travel and things like that to show this and spread this knowledge. And I do see where you're coming from with that. I really understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
I think when it comes to money in the paranormal, and when we were on break, actually, Amber and I were talking briefly in the kitchen, and, she mentioned, there is this kind of, holier than thou thing when it comes to charging in the paranormal. Now, what I think the issue really is that there are, let's just take paranormal investigations, for example. I think that, a group of people who, saw a couple episodes of Ghost Hunters, right?
Mm-hmm.
And decided to form their own group, a month ago, right? And then claim that they're professional paranormal investigators that charge $200 an investigation. I think that's very wrong. They don't have any experience, and as you know, Derek, they may be messing with things that are way beyond their control. I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
No, what were you saying? Go ahead, Derek. I was going to ask you what your thought was on that.
Another one thing, do they also have to do, did they study a little bit of the Bible, understand a little bit of the Christianity, because you're going to need to protect yourself somehow. You don't just walk in and say, here I am, I'm the ghost hunter. There's actually a television series with children that they're using on TV, which I don't agree with.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these kids right now are, there's some of the parents are getting quite upset because there's a couple of boys are actually are having nightmares since they've been doing the show.
Yeah.
And it's because those spirits are actually following them to their own home. And they're thinking this is actually fun, and that this is a they're making a TV series for kids. It's not a children's show. This is for real.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're on site. You're messing with someone who's in prison, for example. You go to a jail. You go to a prison that someone had killed people for just because they felt like it.
Mm-hmm.
And the prisons are still haunted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got a prison I'm going to be going to the next little while. We're setting it up with another radio station here. And we're going to be going to a federal penitentiary that actually hung 32 men.
Ooh.
In the mid-1850s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's carried, I mean, this is a place that's never, never been investigated.
Oh, really? So, I mean, no one's ever went through this place at all, huh?
Yeah, and they turned this place into a bistro. They made it to a restaurant.
Wow.
You ever seen your food thrown across the room?
No.
Well, this one here did. This guy actually was serving spaghetti, and he had the plate on the table, and they literally, the plate flew and hit the wall with the spaghetti on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it wasn't the waiter. He wasn't even there. And the customer sitting there going like, oh, my God, what the heck was that? And they're stunned. This is what these entities do. And this is not a game. It's for real. And there are times I've actually had a young boy, his parents, the parents brought him to me, 15 years old, and his eyes turned jet black.
Oh.
He was possessed. The kids were messing around in the cemetery. They were trying to do a Ouija with a dime on his tombstone.
Uh-huh.
And they thought that was fun.
Do you think it's because the children, I've heard about this psychic kids, or is it a children's paranormal show? A couple people mentioned it to me yesterday when we were at the expo.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned it actually earlier today. You mentioned it to me. Do you think it's because, I mean, when children are that age, they don't have the strength of mind that an adult may have to understand situations that they're in and be able to repel these things? I mean, even adults obviously can have issues if they don't have strength of mind. But I mean, why do you think this is a bad thing? I mean, is it because of the mental state of a child at that time, why they shouldn't mess with these forces?
Number one, I mean, a child should not go on a site that has actually ever had a murder that took place.
Uh-huh.
If it was a passing in the house, but it wasn't very that dramatic, and if their children were, I mean, I've had children that were very psychic. I've met other kids like that are very, very sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Children, if you realize that children have never experienced trauma in their life. They never experience a broken heart.
Mm-hmm.
They never experience losing a parent sometimes. Not all children have.
No.
They never experience complete death. They never experienced all the horrors and the fears that we create in our own personal life as an adult because we went through all that.
Mm-hmm.
The children are still the innocent ones. They're still learning. So they don't know how to decipher what is right and what is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they had Chip Coffee on there and he was coming on and pretending he was the little boy, working with the kids, that's great. And he was encouraging them to use their skills, but they still have to do it safely. And they still have to have a parental guidance by someone who has a profession in the field they can take the child to teach them how to utilize it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
But see, when I was young, we never had that availability. And I was going through hauntings galore. I never had anybody help me. I was on my own. They thought I was nuts. I was sent to the doctor thinking I was crazy. He put me on amitriptyline, which basically is to put you in the insane asylum.
Yeah.
To shut you down so your brains don't work. And I got myself off of it because spirits came to me in the night and said to me, in my dream, said to me, throw the pills away. We're here to help you, not to hurt you.
Mm.
So I got up that morning and threw the pills away, and I was fine. But I realized after I had to listen to them, but I never asked how to listen to them. They decided to help me because I felt misguided. I thought I had to do this on my own. most kids don't do that. Today we have a lot of spiritual teachers that can help kids.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was young, this is back in the 60s and 70s, you don't have teachers that existed then. It was never considered a psychic medium thing. Mm-hmm. They called it the occult, or they called it supernatural. And when you use the word occult, which man's in the dictionary means unknown, mm-hmm. but that word occult was kind of a scary word because they put them in horror movies. You know, oh, well, it's a horror movie, it's an occult. Or if it's somebody who's not accepted by a certain church as an occult.
Well,
you have to learn to, they have to learn to define and definite, put a definition of what is real and what is not.
It still is a derogatory term, Derek. I mean, even today, I think, I mean, I don't consider it, you know, like when I hear the word occult, I don't cringe, but I know even today, there's lots of people when they hear the term occult, they freak out, you know, and they back away going, oh my God, that's, you know, that's devil worship or that's, you know, cult, you know.
Exactly. They think it's satanic worshiping or something.
Yeah, it's still a very taboo term, I think, even with things that are happening today. And I think, you know, I think people still, well, there is obviously a lot more help out there now. And you're right. Back when you were growing up there, I can imagine how hard it would have been to grow up in this environment and begin grow up with these abilities too. Then again, I mean, in regards to this psychic children's show, is it the right thing to sensationalize this? Is it the right thing? Why can't children just be children? Right? I mean, there are children that are sensitive. We've talked to children.
They should be kept private because, number one, they should never be displaying these children on television. That's hyping them.
Mm-hmm.
These children need a private life of their own first.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's right that a child should be on TV and displayed because, you know, they also have... Here they have the Privacy Act to protect this child if a child did something wrong by hurting someone. They don't mention their name or show their face on television or newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, if a child did something good, they put them on TV and make them look like they're important. You know, this is they don't realize that children are messing with death.
Mm-hmm.
They're messing with the spirit world. I had a 12-year-old boy who was a paraplegic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, his mother was a professional psychic, and she used tarot cards. But her son only used four different varieties of cards. She encouraged him to use cards because she felt that he was also very intuitive.
Uh-huh.
So the little boy one day, I was putting on a wellness show. This was quite a few years back. And I put on a wellness show, and the little boy, she brought her son with her. And he said to me, Derek, I want to do, can I do a reading for you? And I said, sure.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, he pulled the four cards, and he turned them, and he said to me, be aware of a man that you know in your childhood coming into your life and he's going to try to kill you. You're going to have to learn to defend yourself. So you've got to start learning some martial arts, and then when he comes into your path, you have to kill him.
Oh, my God.
Or you'll die. And all of a sudden, I looked at the boy's eyes, and his eyes turned black.
Oh, my God. And this was this the
yeah.
same one you mentioned before where he was actually possessed by something?
Different boy.
Different boy.
He was reading me, and all of a sudden he changed. He became somebody else.
Well,
I looked at him. My body was vibrating. I felt like, who in the hell are you? So I looked at the boy and I said, listen to me. I'm not afraid of you. Go away and leave this boy alone. Go back where you belong. You can't hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
And the boy closed his eyes. He yelled and he screamed for about maybe 30 seconds. And then he opened his eyes, and I said, are you okay? And he said, what happened? I said, you became possessed immediately. You cannot use these cards for a while until you learn how to use them right. Your mom needs to be with you when you read them from now on. You don't do these alone.
So, yeah, and that's just another, that illustrates the point again. I mean, when is it the right time?
Everyone goes test. You're getting tested by the dark forces. When you become very, very good at your skills, the dark forces try to interfere, and they were trying to interfere with the kids even on that show when I was watching a couple of the shows with Chipkoffi and the kids. And I knew then there was a couple of dark forces trying to mess with the kids' heads.
Mm-hmm. I just wonder when is the right time. I mean, I think we've established that maybe this isn't the best of ideas to have a show on this.
The spirit told me the best time for the kids to learn is when they start going into adulthood, which is between 16 and 18 years old. It's okay to meditate. It's okay to do healing on people. It's okay to learn how to use a psychic field, but make sure you have someone with you, a teacher with you, or that you have 24/7 assistance if something feels not right.
Well, supervision, it sounds like. It sounds like
supervision,
you're,
yes.
You're kind
yes,
of...
you should have that. If you don't have that, then you shouldn't be involved at all.
You know, you got to crawl before you can walk, right? You know, I mean, have somebody help you out with this stuff.
This is not... This is, I get really upset when I see these psychic shows on TV, when I see these kids on there, and they got the machines on the kids' back. They look like they're ghost hunters, and they're saying, well, this is what I'm feeling, and they got the kids walking in the dark. And they're trying to teach the kids how to overcome their fear of dark. You know, that has nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to get the kids all hyped up to who died there and who was murdered there. That was the stupidest thing they ever did. You do not mess with that kind of stuff. I've seen kids get hurt so bad after they're done that show. Well, and it's not good. It's not
healthy. Why can't kids just be kids? That's my question. I mean... Obviously, this isn't every child that's out there. This is just a very small thing. It's one show, and there's other, you know, in situations out there. But I still have to ask that question. Why can't a child just be a child? And like you said, when they get to be about 16 to 18 years old, if they have an interest in this or they have these abilities, let them grow then. It seems like a child is just too young. I mean, I've had emotions in this field when and are investigating. I felt things, like little things here and there. I've had feelings about things that were happening around us that were really, really not stressful, but they were foreign to me. They were something new. They were interesting. I was intrigued by them, but I won't lie. Sometimes I got a little bit scared in situations. Amber knows this, right?
Yeah.
I freaked out a couple.
First out the door.
Well, shut up. Anyway, but I've been nervous about things. I'm not going to
tell you something.
Yeah.
When you get involved in the paranormal field. And you may think you're not using your psychic skills. You are. And the psychic skill, the word psychic, it's a Greek word, means soul. So you're actually, it's almost like you're sensing your spider senses.
Uh-huh.
Okay, when you say spider senses are tingling. You're sensing someone's presence in the room. And when you say your hair is standing up, the back of your neck or your arms hair is standing up, because they're standing right into your aura. Those spirits are standing right into your aura, and they're letting you know they're there.
Okay.
And are giving you the opportunity to see them and hear them and feel them. They're telling you that they're saying, here I am, come feel me, come see me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's not because you're going, it has nothing to do with but you going in there and saying, well, you know, I was in this house, people always say it was actually haunted, and I walked in this house, we did the whole investigation, we got no response, so it's not haunted, so they're full of crap as far as we're concerned, or they're just making it all up.
Yeah.
But yet, the elf goes in there, who's a medium, and says, oh, my God, this whole thing is unsettling. It is haunting. How come? Well, number one, if you've got a half a dozen paranormal investigators in there or more,
mm-hmm.
those spirits don't want to come out because there's too many people messing around the room.
Mm-hmm.
They don't mind two to three people. When you've got five or six or ten and a group of people you see you're going to train on site, they're not going to show up.
We've always said smaller groups
up,
work.
I'm only going to choose one or two people in that room and saying, here I am.
we've always been big fans of, like, you know, smaller groups in paranormal investigating. Those are obvious reasons why. We got a couple minutes left here, Derek. I just want to mention our mediumship radio talk show. Tell me about this. This is the show you do, correct?
Well, my show is on bbsradio.com. I'm on every Tuesday night, 8 o'clock Pacific Standard, which is 11 o'clock Eastern. My show is called Between Two Worlds. I do work as a psychic medium, work as a paranormal investigator. But I do bring on a variety of different people in the paranormal field, music field, into everything from, you name it, orbs, everybody in the field, other mediums, other people that are mediums, also alternative health practitioners, people that are into psychic health. One lady friend of mine, actually, she works as her grandmother raised her, taught her how to pick and harvest. Since she's a little girl, her grandmother was about 103 when she crossed over, but she taught her the field of learning alternative medicine. So basically, anybody out there is going to a doctor and saying, well, you know, you got this problem with MS, or you got this problem with cancer, or Hep C, or you have AIDS, and you'll never be cured.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? This lady is outstanding. I've seen her cure almost everyone. I had a young lady who actually had brain tumor, and she actually came to me for a reading, and her doctors told her she had about 2-3 months to live. And now it's been about 2.5 years, and she's still alive when I send her to my friend.
Oh, wow.
And the cancer's gone. They can't find the tumor. The doctors are taking the credit. They didn't do a damn thing.
Oh, my goodness. Tuesday nights, so, you said. You said Tuesday nights from what time to what time again, Derek?
I got Tuesday nights, 8 o'clock Pacific Standard, which is 11 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah, 11 o'clock Eastern time. Between Two Worlds is the name of the show. Unfortunately, we're at the top of the hour here, Dick. We got to go to break. I'm really sorry. Hang on the line, though. I mean, I think we covered everything we were going to cover, right, Derek?
Oh, lots to talk about.
Oh, yeah, there's so much.
I never talked about a lot of things that I've done in the paranormal field here in Canada, which can totally blow your mind.
We're going to have you come back again then sometime, all right?
Yeah, definitely.
Hang on the line. Don't leave us just yet, Derek. Thanks again to Derek for dropping in. Derek Whitefat Cloud. This is the first time we've actually had him on the show, like to hang out. Like I said before, we've had him drop in for our Prophecy Night shows, and it's always been great to have him. And it's finally fine to have a real conversation with Derek. Coming up, though, next hour, we're going to be talking to Ronnie McMullen. And we haven't talked about conspiracy theory in a very long time. And I'm looking forward to doing this. It's been a very long time since we've gotten into this stuff. And prepare to watch me rant, because I'm going to probably start doing that. Whenever we got into the conspiracy stuff back in the day here, which we were doing it a lot a few years ago, we were ranting and raving all over the place. So we'll have to see what happens with this. In the meantime, this is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Amber.
And we'll be right back after this.
Miss a live broadcast? Feel free to download it direct from the on-demand archives at ghostlytalk.com.